I think I'm going to end up teaching today. But I've said that before. And so in some cases, the odds aren't good enough for God. They're not bad enough. They're not long enough for God. Other times he's waiting for the better version of you, and yet other times it's the divine timing is just not here yet. But the thing we want to talk about today, which is another possibility, it could be another reason why you have not received your blessing, your breakthrough. Some of us, I'm not going to say, nor do I know who I'm talking to. Some of us can't break through, can't get to another level, can't get from here to there, simply because we are just stuck. Do you know what I'm talking about? Just stuck. You can't get over because you can't get over your stuff. You are stuck. You want to do great things, but your impact is going to be limited, or it will be limited, if you don't get unstuck. Some aspects of your mission, some aspects of what God wants you to do, cannot be done by you because you are stuck. And somebody else is going to have to fill in the gap. Why? Because you're stuck. You can't get past certain issues. Anybody got some issues you still can't get past? We can preach all these other sermons, God's odds and God's timing and all that. But you know what? We may say hallelujah. We may even say amen, praise the Lord. And yet while we're saying it, we are sitting in the chair and we leave here stuck, still stuck, still stuck. We're not going to testify about it. But some of us are still stuck and you can't go to the next level. You can't move on. You can't do greater things. You can't be the better version of yourself if you are what?
Stuck.
Can't get past your issues. Maybe you're stuck because you have past hurts and unforgiveness that you still haven't gotten over. Despite however many messages come across the pulpit, you might still be stuck and limited and not able to fulfill your full purpose and your full mission in life. And somebody else is going to have to plug in the gap because you stayed stuck. Is anybody stuck? Don't say amen, because I don't want to know who, either that or just everybody say amen. Maybe the everybody say amen is the better way to go. So until I'm done, just everybody say amen. How about that? I'll just assume it's my preaching. Amen. But there could be past hurts and unforgiveness. That's the problem. Now, it also could be religion that has you stuck. We try not to get too many of those folks here because it doesn't work out so well. If you're stuck because of religion, and it's usually man-made stuff, by the way. When I say religion, I don't mean the stuff God cares about. We're down with that all day long. But religion, a la the Pharisees, will cause you to be stuck. A subset of religion is denominationalism. I'm Baptist born, I'm Baptist bred, and I'll be Baptist till I'm dead. You heard that before? You heard that before? I'm saved, sanctified, and then we got to fill in the blanks. I'm Church Christ, I'm Pentecostal, I'm apostolic, or I'm Kojic. And sometimes we get so caught up in religion, I mean man stuff. Jesus did not institute no denominations. There's folks we can't help. You can't really fulfill your full promise with all God put into you. Why? Because you got stuff. Because you done narrowed things down to this one little set of precepts, and you've built a whole foundation and fortress around it, and you don't realize you're stuck. You don't realize it, and yet you're stuck. And sometimes we're stuck because we can't get past wanting what the world has to offer. Can't get past putting all our energy into what the world has to offer. And there's many preachers that'll get you to feel like you got to get ready to get stuff, because it's owed to you, because your Father in heaven has the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so you think you're right by you chasing all this stuff But spiritually, you are stuck. And that's somebody's problem. Another problem that you might have is you might be stuck because you worried about what other stuck people are going to say about you. I'll say that one again. You might be stuck not being able to be all that you could be because you're wringing your hands worried about what the other stuck people in your life are going to think of you if you get free to be you. I couldn't be up here preaching right now if I was stuck on stuck people. I've had to let that roll right off my back. So you might be stuck because you're worried about what the stuck folk have to say. Because what do stuck folk do the best? Judge. So you don't have to wonder about whether the stuck person is going to judge you. The reason that you're afraid of what they're going to say is because you know they're going to say it. Oh, yeah. You know they're going to say it. It's their second, that's their favorite pastime. It's what they do best when people get stuck. And they take pride. Many times we take pride in being stuck. We think it's what makes us unique. We think it's what makes us special. Sometimes we think the thing that we're stuck on is what makes us saved. How far you think I'm going with that? I'm not going too far with that. But what we're trying to get to another level. What are we talking about today? Being stuck and needing to be, for anyone who is stuck, unstuck. Unstuck. And the reason I shared all this other stuff with you is because I'm trying to make sure I don't get stuck. It's natural for me not to get stuck. It's natural for me to do the things that keep you from being stuck. But some of us are stuck. Are you stuck? I do have a text for you, and it will be familiar. And it includes or involves the Great Commission. You all know about the Great Commission? So the text will be found in Matthew chapter 28. The subject actually comes in the form of a question. Are you stuck? And if so, can you get unstuck? Are you stuck? And if so, can you get unstuck? Because if you're stuck, you are limiting your potential. You are limiting what God can do with you and, frankly, what God can do for you. So for our biblical example, we go to Matthew chapter 28. And we're looking at verses 16 through 20. Now, just so that you know, we're also going to be reading Acts chapter 11. And Galatians chapter 2, in case you want to mark your Bibles. And I'm still going to figure out a way to do this within the allotted time. That's the plan. So Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Let me find it in my Bible. I'm sure you will find this very familiar. This is what we call the Great Commission. Many ministries use this as their calling card, as their inspiration. Verses 16 through 20, and I'll read them from the King James Version. Now, this is after Jesus has died and been resurrected and been seen and communed with among his disciples. And this is after the watchmen have been paid off to lie and say that the disciples came and got Jesus' body, so that the people would not begin to believe. And it reads, then the 11 disciples, and why are there only 11? That's right. The 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. This is after Mary came and told them that she had seen and spoken with Jesus, and she told them exactly what Jesus told her to tell them, which was, meet me in the meeting place in Galilee on the mountain. Verse 17, and when they, that meaning the 11, So pay close attention to this. I said it's going to be Bible study more like. I'm teaching, although sometimes I get pretty riled up. But they saw him and worshiped him. But what does it say after that? But some doubted. And verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. How much power? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And this next one you could probably say by memory. You might not even have to read it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I hear Pastor Winans' voice when I read that. Lo, I'll be with you always, he says, even unto the end of the age. Amen, amen. It's all right to have voices in your head as long as they're good ones. As long as they're good ones. So back to verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, I can make some folks real nervous right about now. Now, I said we're talking about being stuck, right? And I chose a text, or it chose me, sorry. I don't actually choose the text. And it says, baptizing them, what? In the name of the, in the name of the, in the name of the. Now, back when I was in my apostolic home, woo, we had some fun with that one. We went to some sparring matches in the name of the Father. And hey, that's the Trinity, right? Well, wait a minute. He said name. He didn't say names. That was our angle. He said the name of the Father and the name of the Son and the name of the Holy Ghost, and all of them's name is what? Jesus. That's how we, hey, that was our role. That's our angle. And our Kojic brothers and sisters would say, hey, he said the name. And then you go over in the book of Acts and it says sometimes the name of the Lord, sometimes. You could get stuck is what I'm trying to say. And yet that's not what this message is about. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? You know, somebody's glad. Somebody's glad. And yet somebody will learn. They will learn some truth and they'd be delivered, and then another group would be offended. Now, how are you going to deliver some folks without offending other folks? Let me just tell you, there's always going to be stuck people. And guess what? There's at least one stuck person going to find their way in every congregation. So you may as well not preach. May as well not preach. I may as well just talk into a microphone and preach like that and then listen to it myself. But I guess, thank God, that's not the message. But that is the key verse, even though that's not the message. Go ye therefore. Now, who's in the audience? Who's Jesus talking to? How many of them? All right, so he's not talking to some crowd. He's talking to you's people. He's talking to his inner crowd, right? And what does he tell them to do? Go ye therefore, and actually that's translated teach, but it should be disciple, or make disciples of all nations, baptizing them, etc., etc., etc. Now, he said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. That means all peoples. In the Greek, it is the ethnos, which is where we get the word ethnicity or ethnic. What is he really telling them? See, we drive right past it. We get all caught up in the baptism. Go ye therefore. And this is a command, but right? Go ye therefore and make disciples of who? Everybody. Because who are they likely to make disciples of? Which are the Jews. What he's telling them is, this has been a Jew thing up to this point. I'm telling you, at this point, I've got all power in my hand, and I'm commanding you to go out and make disciples of all kinds of people. Listen, the teach part is critical. You've got to translate it right or you will get it wrong. Teach, I can teach you from here. I can teach you over the radio nowadays. I can teach you over the internet. I can teach you from a long ways away. I can't disciple you from afar. I can teach you and look down on you. I can't truly disciple you and think I'm better than you. I can teach you from afar, but I can't disciple you if you're too good, if I'm too good to eat with you. This is what he's trying to tell them, but they are, you might not have known it, but all your favorite little saints also were just a little stuck. So if you're stuck, I want you to be unstuck, but you're in good company. And that's what we're going to learn here today. Amen? Amen. You probably didn't know it, but your beautiful 12 little saintly disciples were also just a little bit stuck. Despite the clarity, the crystal clarity of this commission, go ye therefore, go, clear, right? You, therefore, and do what? Make disciples of who? Not just the Jews, but literally, I'm telling you, they thought in terms of Jew, Gentile, maybe a little bit of Samaritans because they were half-breeds, but Jew maybe mainly and Gentile. So I know you got the Jewish mindset. I'm telling you because I think you need to be told because otherwise you'd just stick with your kind. Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations, all peoples. We're not talking about geographic nations like we think of it now. Talking about everybody that's not Jews. I'm giving you the answer to the question. I'm giving you the test answers right now. Go ye therefore and teach, make disciples of all nations. There's a lot of, those words matter. Go ye therefore and make disciples. You can't make disciples from afar. You can't do drive-bys. You can't do drive-bys. You've got to commune with people to disciple them. You got to be willing to take their phone calls if they call. I'm just messing with you. He knows what I'm talking about. If you're going to disciple them, right? You got to be willing to go on consecrations and take up your precious time if you're going to disciple them, right? Now, if you're being discipled by somebody, quotes, air quotes for the radio listeners, and you can tell that they think they're better than you, is that discipling? If they won't shake your hand, they won't give you a hug. They think they're better than you. Talking down to you. Is that discipling? Jesus is trying to get them to get beyond themselves because they are stuck in their Jewishness, their specialness. That's why I gave you the examples of the denominationalism. You can be so caught up going to your conferences and your convocations that you are stuck. Reinforcing what you already are, what you've already done, what you always think is special can cause you to be stuck with what got you here. And you will never get there. And there are people who will either be missed, but God won't allow this, so he'll have somebody else do it. And your contribution and the jewels on your crown will be diminished. Because he's going to fill in the gaps. Because he ain't going to let any good thing not get to the folks that are walking uprightly, that are seeking for him. But if you ain't that good thing because you choose to be stuck, then that's on you. That's on you. So, like I said, our text is indeed familiar, is it not? Amen. Have you asked and answered the question about being stuck? Are you stuck somewhere? Are you stuck on something? Are you stuck on the things the world can give you? Are you stuck on religion? Are you stuck on a denomination? Are you stuck on worried about what stuck people think? Somebody has that testimony. Now, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts, my wife's favorite book. And in the very beginning, just while everything was great, they were living communal, and Ananias and Sapphira had to be struck down. We know that. But in general, things were great, right? But you don't get far into Acts before they had to choose the deacons. Why did they have to choose the deacons? Because even in their greatest moment of Christendom, some of them were kind of stuck. Well, you know, the little widows over here that speak, Aramaic, Hebrew. We're going to make sure they get taken care of. And if we got a little extra time and energy, then we'll take care of the Hellenists, those that are Jewish but happen to speak Greek. Oh, they were stuck. So we had to have the deacon, Stephen, that we know so well, who was martyred, was one of the first deacon. There was a reason why we had to have deacons. Because those great Jewish Christians, the first ones, were already stuck. So if you're stuck, don't stay stuck, but don't beat yourself up too much. Just get unstuck. Just pray the Lord unstick you. And if he gives you a mountain to climb that'll get you unstuck because you're going to sweat so nothing will stick to you, please climb the mountain. Don't curse the mountain. Whatever it takes to be unstuck, pray that prayer. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Can you do that for me? So they were already just a little bit stuck. And speaking of how stuck they were, it was a full year. Now, these are the best Christians, right? This is the time when we were all living communally. The fire was coming down. Everybody was speaking tongues, all this great stuff, right? It's still in that environment. There were no denominations yet, by the way. In that environment, it took a full year before Philip and that Samaritan, it took a full year for them to accept that God would embrace a Samaritan, a half-breed. That's just how stuck they were on their Jewishness. You were special, but now you're so special, I'm telling you 12 or 11 at that point, Jews, go off and disciple all of the other nations. In other words, I'm telling you, Jews, go and disciple the Gentiles. And yet, from the very beginning, they were already stuck. They were all Jews, and they got issues over language. Well, those Jews are just, they don't live in Jerusalem, and so they don't speak they speak that heathen language. They're already stuck. Already stuck. Now, how often are we are separated from peoples because of the kinds of words that they say in their service and the order in which they say it, even the tone in which they say it? Y'all too loud, y'all too quiet. You too chaotic, you too boring. We get stuck. I'm just saying we need to get unstuck, right? So it took a whole year after Jesus ascended and the Holy Ghost fell before they finally got around to, listen to me, accepting that God will embrace and save a Samaritan. Now, I don't know if this will surprise you or not, because remember, this is the height of Christendom. It took an entire 7 years before Peter hooked up with Cornelius in a miraculous way and realized. Now, remember, what did Jesus say? Go ye therefore and what? Make disciples of who? All the nations. And this brilliant Peter, the leader of the very, very early church, took 7 years before he could even realize and accept. Needed a miraculous, crazy happening for him to realize that Jesus died for you and me. This is the leader, I said, of the church. If you're apostolic, I know you all into. Peter stood up on the rooftop. And he said, you know what he said. And be baptized in the name of your Jesus for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive. You know Acts 2 and 38. Peter, though, he was rocking around. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against Peter, Petros. And this Peter, it took 7 years before he met Cornelius. Took 7 years before God showed him that blanket with all of the forbidden foods on it and said, kill and eat. And he said, no, 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 no. I ain't never eaten none of that, Lord. No, 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 no. Mm-mm. And he said, look, what I have cleansed, don't you call unclean or common. Don't you dare. And so when Peter walked into Cornelius' house, he was still so stuck that he had to tell them as if it mattered to them. I'm not really supposed to be walking up in your house. You know that, right? It's unlawful for me to walk. What did Jesus say? Go ye what? Therefore, and what? Make disciples of all the other nations, all the other peoples, and Peter is at this time the leader of the church, and that guy says, I'm not supposed to be walking up in your house. How are you going to disciple people and you're too good to walk up in their house? Now, the house might be next to the freeway. How are you going to disciple people if you can't walk up in their house? This is the leader of the church. 7 years later, walking with Jesus for 3 years, seeing the marks. 7 years. It took a miracle, and even then, I just want you to know it is unlawful for me to be doing this. But Jesus said, but God said, hey, for me not to call any man uncommon. 7 years. This is the leader of the church. Now, let me just say this. He said it is unlawful. The law says nothing about it. This was what man put on it. This is Pharisees 11. And yet he walked in and you read it and you think it must be from the law because he says it's unlawful. He told them not to go into contracts with the Gentiles, and he told them not to marry them. They took it and added all kind of stuff on it. So basically, in order to get it right, doesn't this sound like some church you've thought of? Now you got to basically avoid every little contact. So now you can't go anywhere. You can't talk to anybody. You can't do anything that might feel even a little bit good to avoid the worst case scenario. So we build all this stuff on it, and people end up stuck. It was not unlawful for him to be in a house with Gentiles. It was not unlawful for them to eat with Gentiles, but that's the rule that they came up with, just like it wasn't unlawful to heal on the Sabbath. It was not unlawful to glean on the Sabbath, and yet that's what they jammed Jesus up about all the time. Because they were what? Are you with me? Whew. 7 years. And Peter, the leader of the church, 7 years later was just realizing that Jesus died for the Gentiles too. And this is after he said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all the Gentiles. What part of all nations do you not understand, Peter? Now, to take this further, when Peter got back from hanging out with Cornelius and being all up in his house and all this kind of stuff, when he got back, the other disciples, all they were concerned about, you think they were, whoa, this is great. He told us to go teach all nations, and you went out, and really, you went out and converted. You went out and told the gospel, and assumed, while you were talking, the Holy Ghost fell down. Woo, hallelujah, we should be dancing and shouting, right? Right? That's what they should have been doing, but what did they do? All they were concerned about is Peter. You mean you went, we heard that you went up into those Gentiles' house and you ate with them. That's all they were concerned about. Now, these are the same guys who were with Jesus and got the Great Commission. This is 7 years later. You figure they've gotten mature by now, right? Well, what happens is, when you are stuck over time, you just get more stuck. You just reinforce your stuckness. You get reinforced. You get more into the thing that you are stuck. But you can't get there because you're way too invested. You married to. You worship. You built an altar to what got you here. So you can't get there. I said I was going to teach and not preach. I don't know how it happens. But you can't get there if you're stuck. And I'm just trying to show you biblically something that you might not have sort of figured out. These great disciples, and we got Saint this, and we got the Saint Peter's this, and the Saint Paul's that, and the Basilica over here, and these guys, they weren't without issues. You're going to see as I build the case, amen? And this is so that you can see from the Bible what stuckness can look like so that it can be crystal clear to you. Is that all right? So let's go to Acts chapter 11. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Verses 1 through 3. This is after Peter has gone with Cornelius and all this miraculous stuff has happened. You know, God talked to Cornelius and told him something and told Peter something, and neither one of them knew what the other one was really going to do. All we know is that they said, Peter, you know, God said, you got something to tell me that's going to tell me how to be saved. And Peter just started opening his mouth, and not a word he said was new to Cornelius, but it was ordained for Peter to deliver it because Peter needed to see. Listen to me. Peter, the leader of the church, needed to see, because clearly they did not understand yet that you and I matter to God. Peter needed to see. The head needed to see. Verses 1 through 3. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word. That doesn't mean just heard the word. It means embraced the word. It means welcomed the word. Okay, the Gentiles had also received the word. They danced and shouted, right? No. Verse 2. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision, translation, Jews, contended with him, meaning they opposed him, they criticized him, they judged him, saying, thou wentest in to men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. Understand, this term translated uncircumcised is exactly that. It's a literal translation. So in order for you to get a full understanding of what they're really saying, what did David say about Goliath? You uncircumcised so-and-so-and-so. It is about the most derogatory term that a Jew can use for a non-Jew. And so these are Peter's buddies. And they say that we heard you went in to these uncircumcised. Now, this is 7 years in. This is how they're seeing the people that Jesus told them to go out and to disciple. I hope you're learning something. So all they cared about is the fact that you went in unto them. And basically, in their minds, defiled yourself. And it was not based on the law. It was based on the Pharisaical rules. Okay? Amen. Are you with me? Amen. That's all they cared about. Now, Peter explained himself, and they came around. They came to understand what he was trying to say. And if you look further, it says, you know, that they accepted it. But Peter still worried too much about what the leaders had to say, the other leaders. Amen. Let's go to verses 18 through 20 of this same chapter. We don't have to turn any pages unless your Bible requires it. Peter had a limited impact because he was too worried about what the other stuck folk were going to say about him. So you're in good company. Verses 18 through 20. When they heard these things that Peter had said, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Oh, they got it. Peter's been successful. But read on. Now they which were scattered, abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen. So in other words, when Stephen came and he said all that he said, they didn't just kill Stephen. It started an uproar, and they started to persecute the Christians. And that caused the Christians that were in Jerusalem to disperse, to go to other places, like the refugees that we hear about on television. Okay? So the scattering, the dispersion that occurred upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, they traveled as far as Phoenice to the north. That's basically Tyre and Sidon. Cyprus to the west, out in the ocean, the Mediterranean Sea, rather, and Antioch to the east. Preaching the word, what does it say? This is 7 years later. Peter's figured out that the Gentiles can be saved. But what did he do with that information? Just understand Jews only. Now, keep going. And some of them, now some would say that that should be however some of them or but some of them, were men of Cyprus. That's the island out in the Mediterranean Sea where Barnabas was born. And Cyrene, this is a place down in northern Africa, which when they were come to Antioch, which is the place where they were first called Christians, this was the first, other than Jerusalem, this was the main Christian hub, spake unto the Grecians. So some of the folks went beyond just the typical Jews. Now, if your New Living Translation, if you're reading one of those translations, it's going to unfortunately blow this. Because what they like for things to sound good, they want to make the people in the Bible seem as good as possible. So what they'll say is that they actually were speaking to the Gentiles. But no. These guys from Cyrene and Antioch spoke to the Grecians. There's a reason why they say that. Those are the Hellenistic Jews. These are those Jews that they needed to create the deacons for because they were looked down upon a little bit because they weren't, you know, Jew enough. Oh, they were born Jewish, but they didn't speak the Jewish language. And so they were second-class citizens. That's why it says here. However, those that didn't come from Jerusalem, those that were from Cyprus, those that were from Africa, they were willing to talk to those who spoke Greek because they were also part of that class. They weren't talking to Jews. Excuse me, they weren't talking to Gentiles. So, do you agree with me so far? Does the Bible say that 7 years in, they were stuck? They were stuck. Now, a full 18 years after the ascension, a full 18 years after Pentecost, 18 years is a long time. It was a full 18 years. After that Paul went on his first missionary journey, which is where we finally, he and Barnabas, finally actually began to minister to Gentiles. But even then, it was a secondary issue. They went there looking for the Jews, but the Gentiles got, hey, they got interested. They said, hey, I want in on this. And so because they wanted in on this, then the Jews got mad. The Jews got jealous, and that was one of the first reasons why they started to want to kill Paul, because they wanted it to be their thing, La Cosa Nostra. They didn't hear the Great Commission. They didn't hear it. Now listen, notice, who's going out and teaching these Gentiles? Paul, not one of the original disciples. Paul and Barnabas, right? Who did Jesus tell to do it? All of them, Jerusalem Jews. Now, remember, they're in Jerusalem now. Jesus went and found a bunch of them in Galilee fishing and stuff. Found Matthew at the toll booth. Okay? The point here is that he told those 11 to go out and teach all the nations, did he not? And we find here in the Bible that they were what? Stuck. Stuck on being Jewish. Now, we have our own versions of being stuck. But the point here is for you to see and understand that the stuckness isn't new. And theirs was about being Jewish, but what is yours about? What are you stuck about? What issue are you stuck on? What issue can you not get past? What's preventing you from being all that you can be? What's limiting your potential? That's the question. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 15, and we won't go there, but we see how Paul and others have come back to Jerusalem and found after his first missionary journey, the Pharisees are now saying, oh, that's great. Oh, the Gentiles, okay. The Gentiles are accepting this. Okay, we can get with that. However, they have to be Jewish first. They've got to be circumcised and they've got to live by the law of Moses. Then they can be saved. This is what the Pharisees spoke up and said. Now, to Peter's credit, he rose up and defended the fact that Gentiles in God's eyes are equal spiritually to them. This is good, right? Peter's not completely stuck, right? Now, by this time, however, this is 18 or so years after the ascension and after Pentecost, Peter ain't the leader anymore. He's being trumped. And so James came behind him after Peter says this. First, there was a hush, and then Peter spoke up. And then James said, well, you're right. God has accepted them, and he's changed their hearts. But he compromised. So Peter spoke up and said, no, they're good. They're good to go. They're just as good as us in God's eyes. But he was overruled by James, who compromised. He says, well, you know what? They don't have to do all of the law, but make sure they do this and make sure they do this and make sure they do that. There's an important point there. If you read it, it doesn't look like James required that much of them in terms of a compromise. But you're going to understand just how stuck James was, which led him to do the compromising. We're almost done, actually. But I just hope you're learning something about being stuck. If it's not good preaching, at least I hope you say it's good teaching. So now I want to confirm for you this relative positioning that I just told you about Peter and James, and I want you to get a clarity around what this stuckness was about, okay? So let's look at Galatians chapter 2. I'll give you a second to get there. And we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 14. Shouldn't take us too long, and I'll be close to being done, and we can wrap up. 7 through 14. I'll go ahead and begin reading in the interest of time. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that is the Gentiles, was committed unto me. This is Paul speaking. So contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the Gentiles was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision or the Jews was unto Peter. And in parentheses it says, which means it wasn't in the original, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward Gentiles. In other words, God gave me the grace to help the Gentiles as he gave Peter the ability and the equipment to deal with the Jews. Now remember, Peter was among them when Jesus said, go out and disciple all nations. And so he expected that of them. But at this point, by this point, it's become very clear who is ready, willing, and able to help whom. Verse 9, and when James, Cephas, that is Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, that just means it was pretty clear that they were pillars of the church, perceived the grace that was given unto me, talking about Paul, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go into or unto the heathen, and they to the circumcision. So this is institutionalized now. The fact that the folks that Jesus told to go and make disciples of all nations are not going to be doing so. It's been institutionalized now. Okay? Only they would that we should remember the poor. And in other words, what they're saying here, go ahead and you can go talk to those Gentiles, but remember we have some poor Jews here, some poor Jewish Christians here. I want you to send money. Okay, this is a go ahead and talk to the, you can talk to those Gentiles, but send the money back. Remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. And if you read the book of Acts, Paul is constantly trying to get back to Jerusalem for one purpose, to give the offerings from the Philippians, from the Macedonians, to the Jewish poor, because there was a drought. Verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, this is Paul speaking, I withstood him, meaning I opposed him to his what? To his face. This is Paul pretty riled up here. But when Peter came to Antioch, I lit into him to his face. Why? Because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James. In other words, I'm jamming Peter up because before the folks from James came, now remember, James is the big wig now. James is the one that compromised when Peter was finally trying to step up. For therefore that certain came from James, before that happened, he did eat with the Gentiles. Remember, this is the same Peter who said, I ain't supposed to be up in here with y'all. It was never the true law. But now he's delivered, right? And he's actually eating with the Gentiles. But when they were come, that is those from James, he withdrew and separated himself. Why? It says, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Now, why should he have to fear? This is 2 decades after the ascension and Pentecost. Why should he have to fear? Because they came from James. So what does that tell you about what James thinks? James is still the leader of the church now. Is still what? Stuck. And Peter is worried about what the stuck people are going to think of him, which renders Peter what? Stuck. And he goes on to say, and the other Jews dissembled themselves with him. And that translation of that word dissembles means acted hypocritically. So he jammed them up because he was stuck, evidenced by him worrying about what the stuck people would think, and then basically was good with folk, but when other folk come around, he don't know them. Paul jammed them up. He says, him and them other Jews. Now, it keeps going. It's really interesting. He says, insomuch that Barnabas himself also was carried away with their hypocrisy. Verse 14, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Why are you being hypocritical? Why are you being hypocritical? Is his point. This is 2 decades after Pentecost. So my point now is Paul is the one that's going out and doing what the Great Commission told the 11 to do. And I'm here to tell you that it is no coincidence that Paul had to be converted. It's no coincidence that Paul had to step into the gap because the gap was indeed left. Amen? Amen. Paul was once stuck, but he got unstuck. Because he was unstuck, he could be used to do the thing that we so proudly say, go ye therefore and teach all nations, not even realizing, unless you study, that they didn't do what he said. That's why Paul had to be arrested on the road to Damascus. And he devoted his life to the thing that the 11 were told to do. But he had to fill in with and do their mission because they were what? Stuck. Stuck on being Jewish. What are you stuck on being? So Paul, because he was unstuck, had a greater impact on the world. Paul, because he's unstuck, look at your New Testament. Who do you see most of? Paul. And every book that you see written, except for John, maybe 3 John, except for John, all of those other Jewish Christian, Jewish leaders, their books are in the back of the New Testament. They bear their name. All of them, save John, were addressed to Jews, Jewish Christians. Go ye therefore and teach all peoples. These guys got stuck and limited to just Jews. Jews in Jerusalem, and even their letters went specifically to Jewish Christians. Doesn't that sound limiting? So Paul had the greater part of the Bible and the greater impact. He bridged the gap for what the 12 didn't do. So if you're stuck, I encourage you to get unstuck. We're trying to make it. We're trying to get to another level. Get unstuck so that you can do what God has commissioned you to do. You don't want to have a Paul in your life. You don't want somebody else to have to finish the work that you were asked to do. You don't want to end up with a limited impact, a limited imprint on the world. compared to what God really originally ordained you to be. I said I wouldn't take long. I took longer than I thought. I said I wouldn't preach, but I couldn't help myself sometime. But I hope you learn something. If your problem is being stuck, you're not the first one. You're not the only one. But now you see a biblical example of how it actually does limit your impact. Amen.